Well, if you want to get your Bibles out, if you have your Bible with you, you can turn along during the message tonight. But, you know, this is exciting, this new year. It's Rosh Hashanah. It's a brand new year of new beginnings. I'm excited, and I really am excited to deliver this message to you today, tonight. Rosh Hashanah, as we said before, and it bears repeating, it is one of the feasts outlined in Leviticus 23. And this is an important point because the feasts are biblical feasts. These are found in the Torah. They're found in the Hebrew scriptures. And this is in this particular scripture, as I said before, is Leviticus 23:23-25. Let's read it again. I'll read it again tonight for us. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall observe a solemn rest, a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with blasts of trumpets, shofars, a holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work, and you shall present a food offering to the Lord." So this is the biblical mandate for Rosh Hashanah. Now I want to talk for a few minutes tonight about this holiday and the major themes. But you know, a lot of things have happened on the night of Rosh Hashanah in history. And some of these things may or may not have happened, but in Judaism, we have traditions that say these things happened on Rosh Hashanah. And we know in Hebrew, of course, in Judaism, the night begins at sundown. That's why we lit the candles at the beginning of our day of Rosh Hashanah, where the beginning of the night is the beginning of the day throughout to the next sundown. And we know that on Rosh Hashanah, the traditions are that, number one, Adam and Eve are created, that they were created on Rosh Hashanah. The floodwaters dried up, it said, on Rosh Hashanah. Enoch was taken up by God. Remember Enoch? He was taken up by God, it said, on Rosh Hashanah. Now, he was only one of two people in the entire Bible, right, that was taken up and didn't die. And it says, in tradition, that Enoch was taken up by God. Also on Rosh Hashanah, it said that Sarah, Rachel, and Samuel were conceived. Also, it said that Joseph was freed from prison by Pharaoh on Rosh Hashanah. And the forced labor of the Hebrews in Egypt ended on Rosh Hashanah. That Job contracted leprosy on Rosh Hashanah, so not all good things happening on Rosh Hashanah. And the start of the sacrifices on the altar built by Ezra. Remember the figure Ezra who came back with the Babylonians. You had Nehemiah, who's kind of the governor of Judea, who helped build the wall or got the wall built around the temple. And you had Ezra, who is a priest that came back and instituted the sacrifices once again after the Babylonian captivity or the Babylonian exile. So it's said that the start of those sacrifices, they restarted on Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is a major holiday in Judaism. This is probably one of the biggest. Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we know that Jewish people, even non-religious Jewish people, from all stripes, from the very Orthodox down to the very Reconstructionist and even beyond that, they're going to services like you and I are on Rosh Hashanah. Here in Savannah, downtown at the Reformed Temple, they're going to services on Rosh Hashanah. At the Orthodox synagogue and at the Conservative synagogue, they're going to Rosh Hashanah services. In Judaism, this is when Jewish people come out. And you know, of course, the old adage is when you're a Christian, you go to church on what? Christmas and Easter. When you're Jewish, you go to synagogue or temple on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So they're all coming to Rosh Hashanah services, and it's a major one of the holidays. They are coming, and they're looking, and they're seeking, and they're searching, and they're going before the Lord with their petitions. You know, some of the things that we just did tonight are very traditional. Avinu Malkeinu, all these prayers, they've been done for hundreds and hundreds of years in Judaism. And we're doing them. We're continuing to do them tonight as part of Judaism. And as Messianic believers, though, Jew and Gentile here together, as Messianic believers, We've just come out of the month of Elul, the month of preparation, the month of reflection of our lives, and the month of preparation for what's to come. And tonight I want to talk about these major themes. Now, these are themes that traditional Jews recognize for Rosh Hashanah and that we as Messianic believers recognize during Rosh Hashanah. They're common themes, and they're all about our God. And you probably have picked up on some of the themes. So when I get to them, you'll say, oh, okay, we were singing about that, or we were talking about that, because there is definitely themes, major themes in Rosh Hashanah. So let's prepare our hearts as we go through this, and we can see, what is God saying to us? You know, Jews from all over the world are going and seeking and searching. But you know what? We know the Messiah. Many of us know the Messiah, Yeshua, here. Many of you, some of you might not. Some of you watching might not. But the what I would encourage you to do is take a look at these claims. Take a look at the scriptures, even our very own Hebrew scriptures that speak of Messiah, that speak of Yeshua himself. And the first universal theme of Rosh Hashanah, it's that called Malchiol, which is the kingship. Kingship. We've sang about it and we've talked about it. Adonai, our God, is repeatedly portrayed in the Bible as our king. And that's what we're celebrating him tonight as. He is our king. Psalm 47, 1 and 2. Let's go there. Psalm 47, verses 1 and 2. Now, there's many scriptures that speak of God as a king. But this one in particular. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud shouts of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Now, I picked this scripture because God is a great king, but he is a great king over all of the earth. He's not just a great king for Judaism. He's not just a great king for those going to temple tonight. He is a great king of the entire world and of all of his creation. And we need to understand that. And that is a universally accepted theme during Rosh Hashanah. A king is a ruler. A king is a leader. Now, when we think of a king, who do we think of in Judaism? We think of King David, right? King Solomon. These are the great kings in Israel's history. They were the rulers of Israel. They were the decision makers for the nation. Now, in the same way, we can see God is our ruler and he's our decision maker. You know, many times God puts up earthly people in our lives, earthly rulers or leaders or fathers or teachers in our life that point us to our Heavenly Father, right? You may have had a father figure growing up, or could have been your father, could have been somebody else, but you looked up to them. They were an authority figure to you. They made the decisions. You listened and you did what they said. And this is teaching us about how God is as our king. He is our ruler. He is our decision maker. And just a few verses later in Psalm 47, turn to Psalm 47, verses 7 and 8. We continue to look at this idea of God as a king and God as a ruler. And it says in Psalm 47, 7 and 8, "For God is the king of all the earth. Sing praises with a song. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne." Amen. So he is a king and he is on his throne. And he is to be, of course, worshipped. He is to be, of course, given glory, but he is our ruler. He is our, or should be our ruler and our decision maker. And this is the universal first theme of Rosh Hashanah, because Adonai, our God, is supreme over us. There is no one greater than our God. We sing this, we say this in many pieces of liturgy. God is up here, we're down here, right? It's not like this, and certainly not like this, even though the world says it might be at some times. But God is up here. We look up to God. This is the first major theme. Adonai, our God, is supreme over us. He is our great king. He is our great ruler and our great decision maker. And you know what? This is always where we should start. And this is why this is the first of three major themes of Rosh Hashanah. Because we always should start with acknowledging God as our king and our ruler. And turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It's very interesting that this is how Yeshua talks about God. And this is the how Yeshua puts God first as King and Supreme when he teaches the disciples how to pray. This is commonly referred to in the body of Messiah as the Lord's Prayer. But isn't it interesting how the Lord's Prayer starts off? Matthew 6, 9 through 11. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Now that is very significant and interesting. Yeshua, being a good Jewish rabbi, who would have been completely immersed in these understandings and themes of Rosh Hashanah, knew that God was supreme, knew that that comes first, and he is saying, listen, here's the model prayer. And when you pray, not just on Rosh Hashanah, at any time that you pray, you start out with acknowledging God as your king and your ruler. You start out as putting him supreme over your life, and then you ask for your daily bread. But first, you put God in his place, his rightful place, as our king and as our ruler. And that's powerful. You know, God, I put you first. And you know what that means? It means when we pray, when we ask things of God, we've said, God, you're on your throne, and now I'm going to come to you with my petitions. God, you're ruling over me, and now I'm going to come and ask the creator of the universe, or talk to the God who gives breath to me. That is the right way to pray. That is the Jewish way to pray, and that's the Yeshua way to pray. That's the right way to pray, is to put God first. Before our problems, before our needs, he comes first. Amen. And by doing this, we start praying. We start the prayer off right, don't we? We start our day, we start our situation, we start our whatever off right. We start with the acknowledgement that God is the king over everything. He's the king over every prayer we're going to pray. He's the king over every situation you may find yourself in. And he's the king who gives us victory. Amen. Now, the second theme for Rosh Hashanah, the second theme, and I mentioned the word in Hebrew earlier, and we talked about this concept. And this is not as universally thought of, but it is a central theme of Rosh Hashanah, is zikronot, or remembrances. This is the second theme of Rosh Hashanah. The idea here is that God sees all. This is the idea of the remembrances theme. God sees all. God remembers all. Nothing gets past God. You may think, we may think that we can fool God by getting all dressed nicely or doing all these things that we do in our lives, but nothing gets past the creator, the author of all life, the one who gave us breath. He knows every thought. He knows every deed. He knows every word that we say or thought we think. Nothing gets past him. When Hagar was sent out in the desert, if you remember in the book of Genesis, Hagar, the Egyptian, she conceived. She gave Abraham, actually the firstborn, Ishmael, not the son of the promise. Isaac was the son of the promise. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, there was a son born named Ishmael, who's the father of the Arab peoples. And if you remember in Genesis, when Hagar is sent away by Abraham, you remember that story? She's sent away with her young son Ishmael because there was this Sarah and Hagar got in. There was a bit of jealousy there. There was things going on there. Hagar was ultimately sent away, and she was sent away into the desert with her son Ishmael, and basically sent away with nothing. And she and the boy were in the desert, basically to die, to be left to die. And Adonai comes to her, the God of all creation comes to her, and he tells her that what her son will do, and how Ishmael will do great things, and how they're going to survive this, and they're going to get through this. And he tells her all these wonderful things. And here's what Hagar says. Genesis 16:13. So she, Hagar, called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing, which is El Roi. For she said, truly, here I have seen him who looks after me. Now that's pretty powerful, because our God is a God who sees, who knows all. You could be in the middle of a desert like Hagar and Ishmael. You could be in the middle of nowhere with no hope and no one. Haven't you felt sometimes like you were in a desert in your life? Haven't you felt sometimes like you were in the middle of nowhere with no one around you, completely alone and isolated? I bet that's how Hagar and Ishmael felt. But then God comes to her and comforts her. And she says, this is El Roi. This is the God who sees, who knows all. This is a relevant theme for Rosh Hashanah, because God sees and God knows all. In the depths of our despair and in the highest heights, he is with us. He sees. He remembers. And this is important. As we approach this new year, you know, we've been taking stock of our lives. We've been reflecting on our lives this past month of Elul. And there is one thing that's universal to all of us, is that we only want people and God to see the good stuff in us, right? We only want God to see all the good things. We only want other people to see all the good things. We don't want people to see behind the curtain, you know, the whole Wizard of Oz thing, because we're afraid of what people are going to see when they look behind the curtain in our lives. Are they going to see the quote-unquote ugly in our lives? Are they going to see the problems that we really have? And, you know, today it's so easy to put on these masks, to put on these veils, to show others only what we want them to see rather than all the parts of us. And a good example of this, at least to me, I mean, hopefully it's a good example to you, is Facebook, right? Facebook, and now, of course, Instagram is really big. I'm just getting on Instagram. I feel a little old because I had to ask other people how to post on Instagram, and I did my first post the other day. Very proud of myself. But, you know, they didn't want to post me in my pajamas on Instagram. I wanted to post me doing something really nice or showing my kids off or whatever. On Facebook, on Instagram, on these things, we want to show the best. We want to show people, look at how great we are. Look at how we look, and look at how all the things that we're doing, all the great things that we're doing. We don't want people to see behind the curtain. We don't want people to see us in our pajamas, so to speak. Right? I don't want people to see me. Maybe you do. I don't know. But keep that thought to yourselves, you know. So here's the point. God sees you in your pajamas. And God sees me in my pajamas. God sees you at your best, and he also sees you at your worst. Nothing gets past him. It's like that whole thing where the mom has the eyes in the back of their head, right? You know, you think, oh, mom's never going to see me taking this little piece of candy or this cookie. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, caught you. You know, moms see it all, right, for kids. Well, God sees it all. He's seeing you when you're trying to grab that cookie out of the jar. He's seeing you when you're doing good things, and he's seeing you when you're doing, quote unquote, the ugly things. But the point is, he is a God of remembrances. He is a God that sees our pretty. He is a God that sees our ugly. God sees it all. The book of Job. Job 34:21. You know, Job had a lot of ugly that happened to him, didn't he? Job 34:21. For his eyes, God's eyes, are on the ways of man, and he sees all his steps. Whether we like it or not, folks, God's eyes are on all the things that we do, all the things that we say, all the things that we think, everything. And that's why we come on Rosh Hashanah and we say, have mercy on us. We're sinners. Pardon our iniquities. Because we know he sees. We know he knows. We may have been able to hide our iniquities from everybody else all year. Maybe you've been really good and you've hid all your iniquities all year long. You can't hide them to God. He's a God who sees. Who sees all. He sees our problems, he sees our struggles, and he sees our triumphs too. And there's one more theme for Rosh Hashanah that I want to talk about, and this really takes us to one of the central things that we do, and it is the blowing of the shofar, or the shofar, right? The trumpet. It's the holiday, as I said, is actually called Yom Teruah, the day of blowing the trumpet in the Bible. The day of blowing the shofar. That's our third theme, shofarot, or the shofar. And this is what the shofar symbolizes. It doesn't just symbolize a really nice sound and we all get excited and assemble. The shofar symbolizes new beginnings. That's what it means. Renewal. Starting fresh. Symbolizes new beginnings. Maimonides talked about this. The sages of Judaism. Everybody recognizes that this is what it means. What the shofar means. During this time of Rosh Hashanah, we take the time to begin again, to renew again, to forget the past year, to forget all the mistakes, to forget all the regrets, all the trials, all the sicknesses we've had, and to look forward to a brighter hope and a brighter future and a brighter year with the Lord. Amen. This is the time to do it. We put away the old and we are renewed. This is a central theme here. We don't live in the past, but we release the past. And this is very significant for us as believers in Messiah Yeshua, right? Because we know this. We know that we can repent of our sins. We can ask God to forgive us for the wrongs that we've done, even the wrongs that nobody's seen. And we can accept the sacrifice of Yeshua who died for those sins. Someone has to die for our sins. Blood has to be shed. That's according to the Torah. That's according to Leviticus 17:11. Because through the shedding of blood, atonement is made for our souls. That's Torah. That's Judaism. And we see that with Yeshua. He shed his blood for our sins. We didn't have to die because we sinned. He took our place. He did it. And so we can repent of our sins. We can thank the Lord for Yeshua. We can accept him as our Lord and Savior. We can know when we do that, we are renewed. It's like the shofar blows for us. Not even on Rosh Hashanah. When we do that, when we are renewed, that is when we can start fresh with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is a powerful scripture. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is what? A new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. You know, I love how the scriptures connect with each other. It's not just the Hebrew scriptures and the Old Testament. It's the New Covenant as well, the New Testament as well. They are one book. And the New Testament is filled with references of the holidays. Just like this. It's filled with references of things like Passover and Rosh Hashanah and all of these things. But if we are in Messiah, if we've repented of our sins, if we've asked Yeshua to be our Lord and our Savior, our King and our Savior, then we are renewed. You are renewed. You need to stop walking in the past mistakes. You need to stop walking in the past regrets. And you need to put off the old and accept and embrace the new. This is a new year, and this is a great time to do it. There's no better time than on Rosh Hashanah. There's no better time for us as Jews and Gentiles alike than to begin anew with the Lord. So I want to challenge all of us. I want to challenge myself. I want to challenge you sitting here. I want to challenge everyone that's listening that on this new year, on this Yom Teruah, that we would accept the kingship of God in our lives, the supremacy of God in our lives, that we accept that, you know what, he sees all, he knows all, and he cares about us. Just like Hagar out in the desert. You may be going through a desert tonight, and he sees, and he knows, and he cares, and he will provide. And of course, that when that shofar sounds in a few minutes, that we would be renewed, that we would accept the fact that God has renewed us for a new year of blessing, for a new year of going out there and sharing this good news that we have of Yeshua. That's what Karen Orr is all about. We're a ray of light. That's what you are all about as followers of Yeshua, is to tell other people about the renewal that you've had. How important on this night, when one of our major themes is renewal. How powerful. When we hear the sound of the shofar, let us all be reminded that we are made new in Messiah tonight and every night. Let's pray. Lord God of Israel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. Lord, we accept your kingship over our life right now. We may have been walking with you for some time, or we may have been walking away from you for some time. But Lord, I pray that you would just pierce hearts tonight, to challenge people tonight. Lord, that we would accept you as King. Lord, that we would know and not try to fool ourselves that you don't see the secret sins, but that you see and know all. And that's okay. You still care about us. You'll never reject us, the Bible says. You'll never leave us or forsake us in Messiah. But we know that even though you see all the ugly in our lives, that you still care about us, just like you cared about Hagar and Ishmael, just like you care about everyone. And Lord, we know that we can be renewed again in Messiah Yeshua. There's no sin. There's no problems that are too much for God. We can't say to you, we've sinned too greatly. We've messed up too much. Because, Lord, we know that you'll take us back in. Because Yeshua has shed his blood for our sins, whether they be great or small. And, Lord, we thank you, our King. We thank you, our Overseer. And, Lord, we praise you that we can be renewed in you. So, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that I pray that they would reach out to you tonight and say, forgive me, Lord, of my sins. Renew me in Messiah Yeshua and help me to start walking with you, God, in newness of life. We praise you and we thank you. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King. And it's in Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, our King. And we are coming to that time where we are about to blow that shofar. And it's powerful. It's a real powerful thing. And you know, there's many reasons why we blow the shofar. So I want to just read you some reasons tonight that you can be mindful of as we blow that shofar in a few minutes. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we are to remember God's kingship. In ancient Israel, the new king's grain was announced with the shofar. When we blow the shofar, we remember that Yeshua is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we are to be his obedient subjects. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember to be God's worshipers. God seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. The shofar heads the list of instruments used to worship God, as it is written, praise him with the shofar. Psalm 150. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we are to remember our need to repent. Blow a shofar in Zion and sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Consecrate a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly. Return to me with all of your heart, and with fasting and weeping and mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments. When we hear the sound of the shofar, we are to remember the faithfulness of the patriarchs. The ram's horn, the shofar is actually a ram's horn, and it reminds us of the Akidah, which is the binding and of Abraham's intended sacrifice of his son Isaac. Because of this act of faith, God promised to bless the Jewish people and to give us victory over all of our enemies. The shofar is a reminder of our covenant with God. Because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that the Jewish people are beloved by God for the sake of the patriarchs. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the binding of Messiah Yeshua, the fulfillment of the Akidah. Abraham prophesied that God would provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. Yeshua was offered up as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on the same spot 2,000 years later. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the heavenly shofar that accompanied the revelation of the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai. The shofar reminds us all scripture is divinely inspired by God, and we are to pay attention to every word that comes from the mouth of God. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the words of the prophets, as it is written, I sent watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the shofar. Prophets are like a shofar which warn of danger. Israel was judged for ignoring the prophets. We must pay attention to the prophets of Israel, especially Messiah Yeshua, Israel's greatest prophet. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember that we are in a state of war. Near is the great day of the Lord, near and coming very quickly, a day of shofar and battle cry. We are in the middle of a raging battle for the souls of human beings. Satan and his fallen angels are fighting for people to share their destiny. God and Messiah are fighting for people to share Yeshua's destiny. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the eventual end of all warfare. The shofar was blown at the end of battle. The shofar is a reminder that final victory is ahead. When Messiah returns, he will end all wars, battles, and injustice, and usher in 1,000 years of peace, of shalom. When we hear the shofar, we are to remember the resurrection that will take place at Messiah's return. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For the Lord himself will descend upon heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the shofar of God. And the dead in Messiah will rise first, then we who are alive will remain, and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. When we hear the shofar, we are to be reminded of the Jewish people's restoration to the land of Israel. Messiah Yeshua will gather all of Israel's exiles. You will be gathered up one by one, O sons of Israel. It will come about also in that day that a great shofar will be blown. And finally, when we hear the sound of the shofar, we are asking God to remember us. The sounding of the shofar is like a prayer that ascends to God's throne, saying, O Lord, may the sound of the shofar ascend before your throne. Remember your covenants. Forgive us, save us, and deliver us. Now, the shofar is literally a ram's horn. This is actually a ram's horn. It's not like a trumpet, you know, that you'd play. It's called the trumpet, but it is a shofar, a ram's horn. It's used throughout the scriptures, and this is the day of blowing of the shofar, Yom Teruah, the blowing of the shofar and the Feast of Trumpets. Let's all stand together, and we are going to say the blessings, and then we are going to blow the shofar. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lishmoa kol shofar. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us to hear the sound of the shofar. Amen.